Feature a series new to this show and another that I have featured only twice. First, the new series. It Pays to Be Ignorant was not your traditional quiz show. In fact, it lampooned radio's intelligent quiz shows. The series ran from June 25, 1942 until September 26, 1951, debuting on Mutual, then switching to CBS and finally NBC. The series was created by Bob Howell and Ruth Howard. The series was hosted by former vaudeville star Tom Howard, and the members of the board of experts, quote-unquote, were George Shelton, Harry McNaughton, and Lulu McConnell. Today's episode is titled, What Did the Dog Say When He Sat on the Sandpaper?, which first aired on Friday, September 1st, 1944, on CBS. Let the laughs begin.
What did the little dog say when he sat on the sandpaper?
Ruff, ruff.
Correct. Pay that man $8. Why don't the girls in Sun Valley take sun baths?
Because the mountains peak.
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
It pays to be ignorant. A zany half hour with those masters of insanity, Harry McNaughton, George Shelton, the nail-up girl Lulu McConnell, and featuring Doc Novick's orchestra. But now, here's the man who proves it pays to be ignorant... Tom Howard.
Well, here is that quiz program again, which has all the educators hollering uncle. With a board of experts who are so up on current events, they're going to vote for McKinley this election. Of course, we have the celebrate author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled He Who Carries Tales Makes a Monkey of Himself. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
I see.
I knew a young girl named Passion. I asked her for a date. I took her out for dinner. My, how Passion ate.
How Passion ate. That's terrible. All right, please, let's get on here. Next, we have a woman who should have been born in the Dark Ages because she looks terrible in the light. A woman who, when she wears slacks, looks like she's walking around sitting down. Here she is, Miss Lulu McConnell.
You know, Mr. Howard, I had the nicest compliment paid to me yesterday.
You did?
Yep. I met an artist.
An artist?
Yep. He offered me $2,500 if I'd let him paint me.
Let him paint you?
Yep.
Did you accept his offer?
I was tempted to. When I figured out what a terrible job I'd have scraping all that paint off of me again.
Yeah, that would be tough.
Oh.
Yeah, it wouldn't be worth the $25.
No.
All right, let's get on here. Next, we have a man whose pan... should be under somebody's icebox. A man who can't count up to 20 without taking his shoes off. Here he is, Mr. George Shelton.
Say, speaking about painting, Mr. Hart, did I tell you about my Uncle Webb put up on the farm?
No.
You know, yeah, he was painting one of his big barns up there, and he fell off a 60-foot ladder.
Goodness, was he hurt?
Nope, didn't even get a scratch.
You mean your uncle fell off a 60-foot ladder and didn't get a scratch?
That's right, yeah, he fell off the first rung.
He fell off the first rung. That's terrible. Mr. Sheldon, you should have your neck wrung for that one. Now, let's get on here. Here's the first question. Pay attention, see if we can get an answer tonight. Now, let's put our best foot forward, will you please?
Right.
Here's the question. Is it true that Eskimos rub each other's noses, and why do they do it?
Why do they do what?
Why do they rub each other's noses?
Maybe they're rich.
Maybe they're rich. All right. Miss McConnell, do you know what an Eskimo is?
That's a sort of a pie, ain't it?
No, wait a minute.
With ice cream in it?
No.
Oh, that's
no.
Silly. I mean, why would a couple of pies rub each other's noses?
No.
In the first place, a pie hasn't got a nose.
I see.
Boy, he had an awful lot of crust. He had a lot of crust pulling that gag.
Yeah, he had an awful crust. You too, Mr. Sheldon.
Yeah, I guess I
why
did.
Why don't you go outside and get hit with a truck? Let's get on here, please, with the program. It's about Eskimos. Now, look. Eskimos.
Yeah,
Eskimos? In Alaska.
Oh, in Alaska.
Alaska.
Oh, that's pretty cold country up there, that
well,
Alaska.
You know that.
Yeah. You know, I understand that they put alcohol in their whiskey.
Up in Alaska. Must be cold.
Oh, I know it well, you know, Alaska. Very cold up there.
Uh-huh.
I had an uncle who lived up there. One day he stooped over to tie his shoe.
Yeah.
And froze to death, right in that position.
In the position.
Heavens, that was terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, it was too bad. We had to bury him in a bass drum.
I see.
Boy, Can you beat that?
Never mind, please. Will you cut out those awful puns? Mr. McNaughton, why don't you bore a hole in yourself and let the sap run out?
Oh, I tried that once, and it ran all over the furniture.
The sap ran all over the furniture?
Yeah, from then on, we had maple furniture.
I see. Isn't that cute?
I'm incorrigible tonight.
You are incorrigible.
Maybe not.
You are. Not only are you incorrigible, you're nutty, if you know what I mean. We're talking about Alaska.
What is corrigible? That thing, what does it mean?
Never mind. Let it pass. You wouldn't know, Mr. Shelby.
I didn't
know.
No.
I wouldn't like it up in Alaska.
You wouldn't like it in Alaska?
No, I certainly would not. I remember one time I got a frostbite.
Yeah, what'd you do?
I bit right back.
You bit back. You bit it back.
Yeah.
Not with Miss McConnell. Let's get on.
Oh, she had him in that night. Oh. Listen, I don't like that cold weather up there. I remember one time I was stopping at a farm up in Minnesota. And boy, was it cold.
Yeah,
I woke
cold.
Up one morning and the pump was frozen stiff.
The pump.
The milk was stiff. The cows were stiff.
Uh-huh.
The chickens were stiff.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing so bad myself.
I see.
It gets pretty cold down where I live in the winter.
It gets cold where you live?
Yep. I remember one morning last winter, I woke up, it was 10 in my room.
10 in your room.
I couldn't sleep with that many in my room.
Oh. Hey, you're getting silly. The question is, why do Eskimos rub noses?
Say, Mr. Howard, did you know that the Eskimos rub noses the first 3 years, and then the fourth year they kiss?
The first 3 years and the fourth year they kiss.
Kiss.
That's novel. You know, the fourth year they kiss?
Yeah,
that's lip year.
That's lip year. Novick, that was played very short and very sweet. By the way of a change tonight, let's hear from one of our contestants. We have invited two members of the studio audience up here on the stage. They can ask the experts a question. If they get an intelligent answer, we give them Alaska. If they don't, we give them a copy of this week's Liberty magazine.
Oh, say, Mr. Howard, pardon me. I saw Liberty magazine just today.
Yeah, just out.
Just out today. On page 13, there's a picture of four of the homeliest looking people I ever saw in my life.
In Liberty Magazine.
Oh, they're the most stupid looking people.
Mr. Sheldon, do you realize what you're saying? That's a picture of the four of us.
It is?
Yes.
It was a nice picture.
It was a nice picture, I see.
Well, say, tell me, Mr. Sheldon, does it say anything about us?
Yeah, there was some writing there. I'm going to get a fella to read it to me after the program tonight.
I see, an interpreter like.
Yeah, interpreter, yeah.
You mean you can't read?
No, I can't write neither.
You can't write neither.
You mean you never learned to write?
No, I figured what's the use of learning how to write if I couldn't read what I'd written?
let it go. You can't talk either.
It's kind of hard.
Yeah, let's get on here. We got a guest here. We're very glad to have you with us. How do you feel?
Just fine.
I see. That's very nice. What did you say our friend's name was? Did we get to that?
Well, we didn't. No, Mr.
Well, suppose
Howard.
We do. We'd like to know him. He's a nice-looking chap.
Yes, he is. And his name is Corporal Carl Hansen, and he's a member of the United States Army Air Corps.
That deserves a hand. Very nice. We're proud of. We're glad to have you with us. How do you feel?
Just fine, sir.
That's a boy. You look great. You certainly look great. Whether you do right here or not, you're in for $25. Let me tell you that right now. We're very, very glad to have you with us. Where is your hometown? Would you care to tell us?
Fairhaven, New Jersey.
Fairhaven, New Jersey. Well, think of that. Been down there lots of times. In fact, I know the entire police force in Fairhaven. Yes, sir. He's a very nice fella. I've talked to him many, many times.
Did he say Fairhaven, New Jersey?
Fairhaven, New Jersey.
Well, squirt a hose on me and call me a drip.
I'd like to very much.
I used to work in that town.
You did?
Yeah. I was an electrician in a jelly factory.
You were an electrician in a jelly factory?
I used to put the currants in the jelly.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I lost the job. I got in a jam and...
You're getting worse. Will you keep quiet, Mr. Sheldon? Those puns are getting unbearable.
I say, Corporal, you know, speaking about the Army, I saw a very funny thing today. I saw a colonel with both eagles on one shoulder.
Both eagles on one shoulder?
Yeah.
What was the idea?
Mating season.
Yeah. Very cute, Mr. McCartney. Very cute. May I ask you something, Corporal? What did you do before you entered the service?
I was a letter carrier.
Oh, a letter carrier.
Yes.
In Fairhaven.
That's
well,
right.
Isn't that great? A mailman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What's wonderful about that? All men are mailmen.
All men. You're downright funny tonight, there, Mr. Sheldon.
Tell me, Corporal, if I mail a letter tonight, will it get to Philadelphia tomorrow?
Yes, I think it will.
Well, that's funny. It's addressed to Chicago.
Pay no
attention to them, Corporal. They're at that age now where they need a teething ring, if you know what I mean.
What's your first name, honey?
Carl.
Carl?
Carl.
That's right.
Oh, is that a cute name? Look at the lovely smile he's got.
Yeah, he's nice.
Ain't he cute?
Yeah.
He's just a love.
All right, please, cut it out.
Now, you can just call me Honeydew Melon.
Cut it out.
What?
Go ahead, Miss McCartney.
I just wanted you to call me Honeydew Melon.
You wanted to call you Honeydew Melon?
Because yeah. I'm so nice and sweet.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're just as round and mushy, too. Before we get in much of a mess with these nitwits here, I tell you what you better do if you will help us out here. Would you reach into the dunce cap there and sort of pick out a question for us, if you will? If you don't mind, would you read the question? Just read it into the microphone in that nice Fairhaven voice of yours.
What kind of power is used to run an electric engine?
Did you hear that, gentlemen? What kind of power is used to run an electric engine? Now, that's a very good question.
Oh, rather, I like a question like that. You know, it's got a lot of up and go about it.
Yes.
I used to go with a young man once. He sure had a lot of up and go about him.
Yeah, what happened to him?
He up and went.
Yeah. All right, the question we have before us is about electric engines.
Oh, electric engines. Say, Mr. Howard, did I tell you they're going to build a railroad down in my town?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they're going to run the railroad right through my house.
I see.
You're going to be awfully busy, you know, opening and closing the doors.
The landlady do that.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
I think so.
Careful, don't sit in the draft. Let's get on there.
Oh, I'm too old for the draft.
Oh, never mind, please. Do any of you know anything about electric engines?
You won't believe this, Mr. Howard.
No, I certainly will
you
not.
You won't believe this.
No, go ahead.
But I've just completed an invention that will revolutionize the whole railroad system.
You have?
Hmm?
What is it?
Well, I have an invention where two engines can run on the same track going in opposite directions.
Now, wait a minute. You mean a train leaving New York for Chicago and a train leaving Chicago for New York can both use the same track?
Yeah.
Well, tell me something. What happens when they meet?
But they don't meet. That's where my invention comes in.
Uh-huh. Look, I'm a sucker for getting into this thing. But how can you prevent them from meeting if they... get back to these three old proverbs we have sitting in front of us here. Here's the next question. Pay attention. Which American president do you associate the Monroe Doctrine with? That is a nice question.
Mr. Howard, I hate to do this, but I'm afraid I'll have to ask you, sir, to repeat the question.
Mr. McNaughton, I'll be glad to. What's the matter with your ears? Which American president do you associate the Monroe Doctrine?
Did I tell you about Sadie Wright, Mr. Howard?
What's that got to do with it?
She's been doctoring for the past week.
She's been doctoring, yes.
Yep. Her doctor told her to take 2 aspirins followed by a hot bath.
Yeah.
But she got the aspirin down all right. But she had a terrible time drinking the bath.
I imagine she did.
Yeah.
All right, please. Miss McConnell, if anyone explains you to me, I certainly would not believe them. We're talking about the Monroe Doctrine. What president is associated with it?
It wouldn't be Madison, would it?
No, it wouldn't be Madison.
That's what I said. It wouldn't be Madison.
I know you said that.
Maybe it's Lexington.
Why do you say Lexington?
Well, Lexington is right next to Madison.
I see.
No, Fifth Avenue, Madison, Lexington, yes. Toyd Avenue, yes. The river.
The river. Fall in there, will you, the next time you're down that way. It's about a president we're talking about.
Oh, when I was a little girl, I won an essay contest.
Yes.
And the president invited me to the White House to give me a medal.
Miss McConnell, I don't believe President Lincoln went in for that sort of thing.
That shows how much you know.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't Lincoln. It was Grant.
All right. That's what I'll grant you. Now, let's get on here.
Say, speaking about president, I wonder why we never had a woman president.
Well, that's simple, Mr. Shelton.
Yeah?
The president, you see, has to be at least 35 years old. Where are you going to find a woman who'll admit she's 35?
I see your point.
Yes.
We still have the question about the president. Which one is associated with the Monroe Doctrine?
Say, speaking about President, Mr. Howard, tell me something. Why do they make such a fuss about President Lincoln starting out as a barefoot boy?
Well, don't you think it's remarkable that anyone starting out as a barefoot boy should grow up to be president?
What's so remarkable? Did you ever hear of anyone being born with shoes on his feet?
Now, will you please try and answer the question? The first thing you know, I'll fire the whole bunch of you. Then how will you keep the wolf from the door?
Oh, is there a wolf at the door?
Oh,
is there
a wolf at the
door? Oh, let him in.
It's a good idea. Next contestant, Mr. Roberts.
Our next contestant, Mr. Howard, is Yeoman Third Class Rose Elias of the Wave.
Oh, hi. How are you doing, Mr. Elias? Good evening, Mr. Elias, and welcome to A Pace to Be Ignorant. You're looking very chic this evening, I must say. Where is your hometown, would you care to tell us?
Niagara Falls, New York.
Niagara Falls, New York. Wow. I didn't think that place was running yet. Well, it's very nice to have you with us.
Oh, I've been there, Mr. Howard, Niagara Falls.
You've been to Niagara Falls?
Oh, rather, yes. In fact, I knew a very charming girl who lived there, yes.
Uh-huh.
She's in uniform now, though.
She's
in the Foreign Service.
In the Foreign Service?
Yeah, she's a waitress in a Hungarian restaurant.
She's a waitress.
You know, that's a coincidence, you know.
Really? What?
That's funny.
Yeah.
You know, my girl is in uniform, too, Mr. Howard.
Uh-huh.
She drives a garbage wagon.
She does.
Yeah, she's a whiff.
She's a whiff.
I just got wind of it.
All right, please. Yes.
That must be a swill job, you know.
Please.
Oh, I'm a perfect idiot tonight.
Yeah, Mr. McNaughton, none of us are perfect. Let's get on here. We're very glad to have you with us, sir. Very glad.
Yeah, I love your uniform, honey.
You do?
You look so nice in it.
Fine.
I love pretty clothes.
Yeah, why don't you wear some?
I'll have you know I was voted one of the 10 best dressed women.
Yeah, Miss McConnell, you are the 10 best dressed women. I won't keep you any longer, miss. Would you reach into the dunce cap there and pick out a question for us? And would you be kind enough to read the question, please? Just read it right into the microphone, if you will.
Who was Hamlet talking to in his famous...
Will you help her out there, Mr. Roberts?
Yes. Who was Hamlet talking to in his famous...
Don't tell me. Who writes these things?
Now, that's a very interesting question, you
know. Yes, it is.
That's a very jolly question.
Yeah, we want to find out now who Hamlet was talking to.
Would you mind repeating it?
Would you... maybe Mr. Sheldon could read it. Could you?
Should I hand it to him?
Yeah, hand it to Mr. Sheldon. Yeah.
Who was Hamlet talking to in his famous...
All right, let's call it soliloquy. How is that?
Well, that's what it is, soliloquy.
All right, please. Who was Hamlet talking to in his famous soliloquy?
Who was in the soliloquy with him?
Ah, cut it out. What do you mean, who was in the soliloquy? There was no one in it with him.
No one? Then who was he talking to?
He wasn't talking to anyone.
But you just asked, who was he talking to?
Okay.
Now you say he wasn't talking to anyone. Why don't you make up your mind?
All right. While I'm about it, I'll make up one for you, too. Don't you remember the famous speech in Hamlet? It begins with, to be or not to be? That is the question.
Oh, that's the question. To be or not to be,
To be or not to be what?
To be or not to be nothing.
That's sillier than the first question you asked.
That is not the question.
Mr. Howard, you just said it was.
I said no such thing.
Oh, yes, you did. Now, don't try to woo him out of it. You said to be or not to be. That was the question.
I didn't say that. Hamlet said it.
Well, throw the bum out.
Miss McConnell, you're an imbecile.
Not only that, I'm double-jointed.
I see. Look, in the play Hamlet, there's a scene where Hamlet is on the stage. That's where he does his famous soliloquy.
Yes.
It reads, to be or not to be, that is the question, whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune or to take arms against the sea of trouble and by opposing end them.
That was beautiful, Mr. Howard.
Yeah, I bet.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Do you know the face on the barroom floor?
Certainly.
It always makes me cry.
It does? All right. It was a balmy summer evening and a goodly crowd was there that well-nigh filled Joan's barroom at the corner of the square, and it's a songs and witty say...
That's the part of Hamlet I like.
Now, cut it out, please. Let's get on here. What am I talking about? Look, Hamlet was alone on the stage.
Mr. Howard, you say he was all alone on the stage?
That's right. Now, who was he talking to?
The face on the barroom floor.
He was not.
He was talking to the audience.
He was not talking to the audience.
You mean the audience wasn't there neither?
It must have been a lousy show.
suppose by this time you probably realize that you've done better if you'd sat around the house and just played your guitar.
Well, Mr. Howe, that's silly, you know. You don't play a guitar, old boy. That's sort of inflammation of the nose or throat.
Now, Mr. McNaughton, you're talking about Qatar. Qatar.
That's my favorite magazine.
What?
Harper's Qatar.
Harper's? That's Harper's Bazaar.
I hate to disagree with you, Mr. Howard. You have in mind a wild animal. It looks like a leopard.
What are you talking about? Look, I think you mean a jaguar, Mr. Sheldon. A jaguar, a very powerful animal, yellow in color, big claws, large body, pointed ears, and big feet.
Now we're back to Miss McConnell again.
Fossils. Now, folks, you realize what we mean when we say...
It pays to be ignorant. To be dumb, to be dense, to be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant, just like me. And it's best not to know too much. Be a dope, your IQ shouldn't show too much. Your brain shouldn't grow too much. Wait and see.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
When I was just a school kid, I wasn't awfully bright. I had a pretty teacher who made me stay in each night. So you see, it pays to be ignorant. Have no brain, be insane, just be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant, just like me.
Now that was truly some amazing comedy. You are listening to the hilarious quiz show spoof series, It Pays to Be Ignorant. The episode was titled, What Did the Dog Say When He Sat on the Sandpaper? And was first heard on September 1st, 1944 on CBS. Next, I want to play an episode from Grand Central Station. Grand Central Station was a drama series that ran from October 8, 1937 on the Blue Network until April 2, 1954 on ABC. The series is best remembered for its opening theme, but the episodes contain some great stories. Each episode contained a different cast. As that week's lead character stepped off the train in New York, the drama began. Today's episode was first heard at 9 p.m. on Tuesday, July 1st, 1941 on the Blue Network and is titled, We Want to Get Married.
The new anti-sneeze Rinso presents Grand Central Station. All aboard for easier wash days, whiter washes. You're on the right track when you use the new anti-sneeze Rinso. Ladies, it's not too late to catch the Rinso Express for quicker, easier wash days. So hop on board. Join the millions of Rinso users who soak the dirt out of their soiled clothes, often in just 10 minutes, with new anti-sneeze Rinso. Give up all that back-breaking rubbing and scrubbing. A short soaking plus a few quick rubs on extra soiled places give you really whiter and brighter washes with less work and with safety. Yes, with complete safety, even for all washable colors. Not only safe for them, but leaves them looking fresh and bright wash after wash. If you'd like to see how fresh and bright, just ask your grocer for a big green package of anti-sneeze Rinso tomorrow. You'll save time, save work, save money, and save yourself from wash day hay fever. As a bullet seeks its target, shining rails in every part of our great country are aimed at Grand Central Station, heart of the nation's greatest city. Drawn by the magnetic force of the fantastic metropolis, day and night, great trains rush toward the Hudson River, sweep down its eastern bank for 140 miles, flash briefly by the long red row of tenement houses south of 125th Street, dive with a roar into the 2.5-mile tunnel which burrows beneath the glitter and swank of Park Avenue, and then... Grand Central Station, crossroads of a million private lives, gigantic stage on which are played 1,000 dramas daily. As the late evening local, just 40 minutes out of Grand Central, pulled into the ivy-covered station at Flowerton, the elderly man in the first seat picked up a large, dome-shaped parcel
nodded to the conductor, and got off. The strangely old-fashioned professional cut of his clothes makes a curious contrast with the bright green cover of the parcel which he carries rather gingerly by a brass ring at its top. He walks slowly, carefully, to the white frame house with the bright gold lettering on the window, Cyrus Westover, Justice of the Peace. Unlocking the door, he cautiously hangs the big dome-shaped parcel on a bracket near the window, removes the cover, and at once a raucous voice begins shouting.
Quiet, Martha. Now, the city doctor says there's nothing at all the matter with you. Yeah, well, if you eat too much, you just gotta suffer with the consequences. Huh? Oh, well, all right. If it's water you want, I'll get it for you. Feels good to be home again, doesn't it, Martha?
We wanna get ready.
No. Now, cut that out, I... Let me hope nobody will bother us tonight. Oh, it's pretty near bedtime, so I guess we'll be... Might have known it. 5 minutes after I get home, back to the old grind. All right. Don't be so confounded impatient. Probably got no business getting married anyhow. Most of you kids haven't. I'm coming. Hold your horses. Here we go again, Martha. Are you Dr. Westover? Well, we want to get married.
Come in.
Sure thing. Thanks. We was afraid maybe you wasn't home.
Well, then what can I do for you?
Are you Mr. Westover, the Justice of the Peace?
Yeah, that's me.
Well, we want to get married. This is Myrtle.
How do you do?
Sit down.
Oh, thanks. Sit down, Myrtle.
You two will open?
No, my pa and ma died when I was a kid. I can get married without nobody to care about it. And Myrtle here, her folks live out in Nebraska.
Yeah, they got a farm out in Nebraska. It's all right on account I wrote them about Mike.
You got a job, Mike?
Oh, sure. I'm a shipping clerk at the Harper Company.
And I'm a candy wrapper at Pepper House and Collins. I'm going to keep on working till Mike gets more money. I think the least a wife can do is help out her husband till he gets enough saved up for the both of them.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And you got your license?
Oh, you bet.
Here it is. Seems to be in order. You need two witnesses.
Huh? Two witnesses?
Yeah. Quiet, Martha. Quiet.
Shoot that parrot.
Don't mind that parrot.
Nice parrot.
She's all right. Now, I'll take care of the witnesses. You just fill out this form.
Okay.
Why'd you pound on the wall like that, mister?
The Callahans will be here in a minute, all six of them. They never miss a wedding or a funeral.
Gee, that's pretty. Didn't cost hardly nothing. I like a plant in the winter, don't you, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah, geranium, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Things grow good for you.
Yeah. I could have got one for the other winter, too, only... I think maybe we shouldn't spend too much till you get your raise.
Well, there's nothing else we can do till I get more dough.
Oh, it shouldn't take so long. You ain't like the other fellow in the shipping room. You're smart, Mike. Mr. Harper said so himself, didn't he?
Yeah, Mr. Harper likes me all right. He treats me swell.
It was nice of him to say what he did when you told him he was going to get married.
Hey, he's a swell guy. I'll never forget the way he said it. He said, Mike, he always calls me Mike.
Yeah.
He said, Mike, you're doing a smart thing getting married. And I want you to remember that I'm your friend. I'm going to promote you, push you ahead whenever you show me you're ready for something better. that's just the way he said it.
Oh, when you get promoted, we can maybe move in a bigger place.
Oh, our own house, maybe, with grass in front.
You think so? And maybe some trees.
You can't tell. I always say you never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Well,
the newlywed coming back to work.
Oh, Lefty.
Yeah, things are certainly going to be different now.
Yeah?
Yeah, no more pool at Joe's. Nah, no more of that for you.
Who's going to stop me playing pool at Joe's?
The little woman, that's who.
Ah, you don't know nothing about it.
I seen guys get married before, ain't I?
Oh, shut up and give me a hand with this crate.
Yeah? Well, before you go getting ambitious and bossing me around, you better go see the boss.
What for?
The county man wants to see you, that's what for. Said for you to see him as soon as you get in.
What do you suppose he wants?
You know, how should I know? Maybe he wants to give you a wedding present. Yeah, you better get going.
Well, I can't figure why he wants to see me so soon after our other talk.
Oh, come in, Mike.
Lefty said you wanted to see me.
Yes, I did. Sit down.
Oh, thanks.
Have a nice honeymoon?
Yes, sir. I want to thank you for letting me off.
That's all right. I suppose you're wondering why had you come to my office.
Yes, sir, I was kind of wondering about it.
I thought you might guess. Anyway, I'll come straight to the point. For the past several weeks, a lot of our merchandise has been disappearing.
Somebody stole it, you think?
We know somebody stole it.
Gee, who do you suppose done it?
I was coming to that. We traced the loss to the shipping room.
You mean Lefty?
Mike, last week we had the biggest loss. Just before you got married.
Mr. Harper, you don't think I've been swiping this stuff?
I've always thought a great deal of you, Mike. I told you once I was your friend, and I meant it. If I wasn't, I'd fire you right here and now. I might even have you arrested.
But Mr. Harper, I haven't been taking any stuff. I feel pretty bad just you thinking I do it.
Now don't misunderstand me. I'm not firing you, and I'm not having you arrested.
Oh.
You're going to have what many men never get, a second chance. I'll expect to see the missing stock back in the shipping room tomorrow morning. That's all, Mike.
Well, what kind of a second chance is that? I haven't had any first chance, and you're asking me to return something I never took.
That's all, Mike. At least for the present.
Well, you... Yes, sir.
What's the matter? Get the gate?
What makes you think so?
The way you look, that's all.
I didn't get the gate, not yet. Anyway, I just wonder.
But for the love of Pete, quit staring at me like that. What did I do?
I ain't saying nothing yet, see? Only if some stuff ain't back here in the shipping room tomorrow morning, there's going to be trouble. Yeah, there's going to be plenty of trouble for a guy named Lefty.
I don't know what you're talking about. You must be nuts.
Maybe. Remember what I said, that's all. Just think over what I said.
Mike, that's terrible. Oh, why, it's like as if Mr. Harper called you a thief right to your face.
Oh, Mr. Harper's all right. I've been framed, that's all.
Looks to me like Lefty done it.
Well, sure Lefty done it. Who do you think done it?
Well, you don't have to holler at me like I was dirt under your feet or something.
Why do you talk so dumb? Anybody could tell Lefty did it.
Mr. Harper couldn't. Did you yell at him?
I
don't see why that's any different.
You talk like you ain't sure I didn't swipe the stuff.
I didn't say nothing of the kind.
Oh, quit arguing with me all the time.
Well, I ain't arguing at all, Mike. I
heard what you said. I got ears, haven't I?
I never thought you'd talk to me in that tone of voice. You certainly ain't a gentleman like before we were married.
Well, you... Oh, I'm sorry, kid. I guess my nerves are all shot. This thing's serious. I might be arrested if the stuff isn't back in the morning. The reason I've been so jumpy.
Oh, I know you didn't do it, Mike. Gee, you wouldn't steal even a pin if it didn't belong to you.
Well, I shouldn't have talked like I did.
I know how it is. But everything's going to come out all right.
Sure. Maybe the stuff will be there in the morning.
Maybe Mr. Harper might even apologize.
Yeah, he might be so sorry he'll give me a raise. You know, just to show how sorry he is.
And then we can move into a house.
Yeah, with a lawn in front.
Oh, won't it be wonderful?
That's like I always say. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
For the third time, I tell you, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it ain't here. It ain't nowhere around. I've been looking for it.
You've been looking for what?
That stuff you stole, that's why.
You're crazy. I didn't steal nothing.
Look, Lefty, I got to go see the boss in a minute. You know what he's going to do when I see him?
What?
He's going to fire me, have me arrested, maybe for something you did.
That's a lie. I ain't stole nothing.
Remember what I told you yesterday. You ain't going to get away with it. You got something coming, and you're going to get it. Don't forget what I'm telling you. You're going to get it.
Yeah, that's big talk, all right. Well, I'll be waiting.
The curtain falls. In a moment, our play will continue.
Come in, Mike. Yes, sir.
Nothing to say?
No, sir.
This morning, the first thing I did was go through the shipping room. I didn't find what I'd hoped to find.
I never took anything, Mr. Harper, so how could I bring it back?
I'm sorry, Mike.
There isn't any reason for you to be sorry, Mr. Harper. You think I'm a thief. Well, go on and have me arrested. That's what I'd do if I was sitting where you are. That's what I'd do. I'd call a cop. Well, go on. Why don't you call one?
No. No, I'm not going to have you arrested.
You're not?
No. As far as I'm concerned, you're a free man. I'm not going to press any charges, but naturally, you can't remain in our employ.
Yeah. Naturally.
Take my advice and don't be bitter about this. It's liable to lead you into trouble.
Don't worry none about me.
I guess that's all, Mike. Good luck to you.
Yeah, I guess that's all. Thanks.
One thing more. Don't leave through the shipping room. I'd rather you didn't pass Lefty on the way out.
Well, it ain't so bad, but it couldn't be worse. Gee, what if I wasn't working either?
I don't want no wife supporting me.
Well, it's the least a wife can do when her husband's out of a job.
I don't want no wife supporting me, I tell you.
Well, you'll get a job. It's only for a little while.
Maybe it isn't. Maybe it isn't.
You might go out tomorrow and get a job first thing. The Harper Company ain't the only pebble on the beach.
I was in line for a raise at the Harper Company. I'd have got it, too. No, I haven't even got a job on account of I've been framed by Lefty.
You'll get work, Mike. Someplace where there ain't no lefties.
All on account of Lefty, I haven't got a job.
Don't keep thinking of Lefty, Mike. It's not good to keep thinking of Lefty.
Well, if it wasn't for Lefty, I'd have got a raise. Now I haven't even got a job.
Don't talk like that, Mike. Look, forget Lefty. Let's just talk about tomorrow and getting a job.
Sure, I'll get something. Tomorrow I might get a better job. You don't know.
Sure. You don't know. Tomorrow you might get something better. You didn't find anything?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. Maybe you'll get a break tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, tomorrow. It's been 5 weeks. Always tomorrow I'll get a break.
That ain't so long. Gee, Mike, you shouldn't be impatient.
We gotta eat, don't we?
Well, I'm working, ain't I?
So what?
So we can eat anyhow. And maybe if I walk to work and back, why, we can save enough for the rent.
You ain't walking to work for no rent.
It's only for a little while, just till you get a job. Besides, walking's healthy.
You ain't walking to work.
Honest, Mike, I won't mind.
I said you ain't walking to work to pay no rent. I'll get a job and I'll pay the rent.
Well, sure you will, but now it won't hurt any if I keep things going, will it?
I tell you, I don't want no wife supporting me.
Well, you keep saying that just because you're stubborn.
Arguing all the time, arguing. Can't you leave a guy alone?
But I wasn't arguing. I only said you're stubborn because you won't let me help out for a little while.
No, you wasn't arguing. You only said I'm stubborn. Will you take me for a chump or something? What kind of talk is that?
Who's saying you're stubborn ain't arguing. I only want to help you.
Cut it out. I'm sick of talking about it. I'm sick of looking for a job. I'm sick of everything.
You shouldn't talk like that, Mike.
No, I shouldn't be looking for a job either. I shouldn't have got blamed for something I never did.
You said you wasn't going to talk about that no more.
What am I going to do? Sit around thinking about it till I go nuts? Lefty framed me. That's why I'm looking for a job. Lefty's a thief and he's working, but me, I'm just a guy who never stole nothing, and look at me.
Well, don't you worry none about Lefty. Someday when you're working, Lefty will be sitting in jail. That's the way things go, Mike.
It ain't the way things go with me. I'm the guy that gets it in the neck. That's me.
Lefty'll get his. You wait and see.
Yeah, Lefty's gonna get his, all right.
Don't talk like that, Mike. I don't like it when you talk like that.
You saying that about Lefty getting his reminded me of something.
What do you mean?
I promised Lefty something before I left Harper's. I promised him something.
You gotta forget about Lefty. That's what you promised me. You're going to get in trouble if you don't.
I promised him plenty of trouble. Last time I seen him, I said there's going to be plenty of trouble for a guy named Lefty.
Mike, where are you going? Don't, Mike. Please don't. You'll get in trouble.
He says, well, I'll be waiting. Just like that, he says it.
Where are you going, Mike?
He'll be at Joe's pool room. Sure, that's where he'll be.
Mike, you'll get in trouble. Don't do it. Please don't do it. You'll end up in trouble.
Michael Brady, a visitor for you.
Hello, Mike.
Well, here I am in jail, like you said. The guy that gets it in the neck, that's me.
Well, I try to tell you, Mike, I try to stop you, but you wouldn't listen.
Lefty's the guy that ought to be here in jail, not me.
Well, maybe Lefty should be in jail, but you ain't got a kick coming.
What do you mean I ain't got a kick coming? I'm in jail, ain't I?
Sure. Where'd you expect to be? After throwing Lefty all over Joe's pool hall.
Yeah. Yeah, that Lefty ain't feeling so good today.
You act like you're proud of what you've done. You ought to be ashamed.
You should have been there. I sure let him have it. I had a laugh at Joe, waving his arms and yelling all over the place. You think it was Joe getting beat up instead of Lefty?
Oh, you ought to be ashamed of yourself getting yourself in jail.
I couldn't help it, Myrtle. I had to do it. I just had to.
Fine chance you got to get in a job now. Sitting here, behind bars.
Yeah, it is kind of tough on you, ain't it?
Don't worry about me. I'm only your wife. I don't count for nothing, I guess.
Well, sure you do, honey. I'll make it up to you, honest. I'll get me a job as soon as I get out of here. See if I don't.
You'll be a jailbird, and who's going to hire you? Tell me that.
I ain't going to be in long. The judge will only give me 30 days. Huh. With good behavior, I'll be out sooner than that.
One day or 30 days, you'll still be a jailbird. Oh, it's an awful thing for a wife to think about.
Myrtle, you ain't going to walk out on me, are you?
No. No, I'm not. I married you for better or worse, and I'll stick by you. But it sure looks like it ain't getting any better. Hello?
Hello, Miss Brady?
Yeah, this is her. Who's speaking?
This is Mr. Harper. Is your husband at home?
Mr. Harper?
Yes. Is Mike there? I'd like to speak to him.
Mike? You want to speak to Mike?
Yes. Is he there?
Mike ain't home right now.
Well, when do you expect him?
Well, I don't know exactly. Is it anything special, Mr. Harper?
Well, yes, I'd like him to come back to work, if he's interested.
Well, I'm sure he'd be interested. I'll tell him. I'm sure he'd be interested, all right.
Fine. Tell him he can start tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning? You mean you want him to start tomorrow morning?
I'll look for him at the regular time.
Yes, sir, the regular time. Well, I'll tell him tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning? How can I start tomorrow morning? You expect me to break out of jail?
Well, can't you tell him how it is? Maybe they'll let you out.
Yeah, sure. They'll let me out all right. I can just see him doing it.
Well, we got to do something. Well, now, wait a minute. My time ain't up. I just got here only a minute ago. What's the idea?
I didn't say your time was up, lady. There's a guy out there to see Brady.
Got to see me. Who is it?
Well, how do I know? All I know is the guy sprung you and he wants to see you.
He sprung him? What's that?
He got him out. Said the magic words and the door of this clink swings wide open for you.
You mean I can go? I'm free for good?
I don't know whether it's for good or not, but you're free. Get going.
Oh, well, it's like a miracle. That's what it is, a miracle.
I never...
Hello, Mike. I'm glad to see you.
Hello, Mrs. Brady.
Hello,
Mr.
Harper.
Mr. Harper, it's you.
Certainly. Who did you think it was?
We wasn't sure.
Oh, it was sure swell of you to get me out.
I sure was, Mr.
Not
Harper.
At all. As soon as Lefty told me where you were, I rushed right down here.
Lefty told you, huh? Oh, that guy's got the loose. That's Lefty.
Yes. It seems you gave him quite a trimming.
Was he hurt bad?
Well, he didn't come to work the next morning, and that was his finish.
His finish?
Exactly. You see, I'd actually been suspicious of Lefty for a long time.
That's good. You were suspicious of Lefty, but I'm the guy you fired.
I had to. I figured if I did that, Lefty would eventually give himself away. Then I'd have enough evidence to press charges against him.
He gave himself away, huh?
Well, really, Mike gave him away by forcing him to be absent. I should say, unexpectedly absent.
Well, I can tell you're giving me credit for something, but I don't get it.
I simply took that opportunity to make a search. We found a bundle of stolen merchandise neatly wrapped and hidden away under a pile of packing material in one of the storerooms. He planned to smuggle it out that morning on one of the trucks.
Oh, ain't it exciting? Why, you're as good as a detective, Mr. Harper.
You flatter me. And, Mike, I hope you'll forgive me for making you the temporary goat.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Harper.
Maybe I can make it up to you when you get back to work.
Harper said, Mike. He's going to give you a raise.
Yeah, and I'm going to be boss of the shipping department. Can you picture that? When the guys come in every morning, they'll say, "Hello, boss." That'll be me.
It's just like a dream or a storybook or something.
Yeah, I can see that house now. It's getting closer all the time.
Oh, I'm so happy, Mike. I'm going to cry.
Yep. And in front, we're going to have a big lawn. You know, like a park where you and the kids can play around.
Oh, no. How many kids were you thinking of, Mike?
Oh, I don't know exactly. Only there ain't no use letting a big lawn go to waste, is there?
Well, no. I guess there ain't. Is there?
No, it's like I always say. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
In just a minute, we'll tell you the names of tonight's Grand Central Station stars. But first, how many of you do this as many as 21 times a week? Ladies, if you sneeze when you pour soap into your dishpan, you're probably using one of the many soaps that still contain as much as a quarter pound of fine, sneezy soap dust. Switch to new Anti-Sneeze Rinso, the only soap of its type that's 98% free of it. You'll not only stop dishpan hay fever, but you'll clean up your dishes quick as a wink. You'll protect your hands from getting all rough and red. And you'll do your dishes for less than a cent a day. Yes, you'll do all that by just saying to your grocer tomorrow...
Please hand me one of those big green packages up there. That Anti-Sneeze Rinso.
Better make it two packages. One for the kitchen sink, the other for your tub or washer. And now, I have important news for all you Grand Central Station fans. Starting next week, this program will come to you on Wednesdays on another network. I'll repeat that. Starting next week, July 9th, Grand Central Station will be broadcast on another network on Wednesday night. See your local paper for exact time and station. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday night when we'll have one of the most exciting stories ever broadcast from Grand Central Station.
We leave Grand Central Station until next Wednesday evening at a new time over another network. Listen for the train whistle and hear the new Anti-Sneeze Rinso present another complete and original radio drama featuring Broadway stars. Tonight's play, We Want to Get Married, was written by Gene Fromhurst. Tonight's cast, Myrtle, played by Francis Chaney. Mike, by Paul Stewart. Mr. Harper, Bennett Kilpack. Lefty, Tom Tully. And Cyrus Westover, played by Carl Swenson.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, a very important announcement, which I believe will bring an immediate chuckle to everyone listening in tonight. Here it is. America's greatest comic section family, Ringing Up Father, goes on the air next Tuesday evening, 1 week from tonight, at the same time, brought to you by the makers of Rinso. This beloved American classic, Ringing Up Father, featuring Jiggs and Maggie, will be portrayed for your enjoyment by a brilliant cast of radio's best-known stars. At last, you will hear and meet not only lovable Jiggs and Maggie, but all the delightful characters you've known so long. Dinty Moore, Wacky Dugan, Nora, and all the others. So don't forget the premiere performance next Tuesday evening of the great new radio comedy, Bringing Up Us. We know that you and your family will want to be on hand to say, welcome, Jiggs and Maggie. And remember, it's the same time and the same station. This is Tom Shirley bidding you good evening for the makers of the new Anti-Sneeze Rinso.
All aboard for easier wash days, whiter washes. You're on the right track when you use the new Anti-Sneeze Rinso.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
This is WENR, the voice of service in Chicago.
What a nice ending to that story. You just heard We Want to Get Married from the series Grand Central Station. The episode was first heard on July 1st, 1941 on the NBC Blue Network. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today, folks. Feel free to write to me with your thoughts and requests. My email address is opr@telus.net, T-E-L-U-S, and my mailing address is Old Part of the Radio, 2880 15th Avenue, Prince George, B.C., Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFAS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week. Thank you.